The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to part two of our interview with Julie Nunes about the Big Sur Lighthouse. And thank you for being a gravekeeper and keeping the Grave Talks on the air. Earlier, you were talking about some of the docents had seen full-bodied apparitions, and you yourself had seen half of an apparition. Is there any inclination as to who was seen in that account?
The one docent that saw two, every Thursday we have Restoration Day, and she dusts the headkeeper's house. And she was in the first bedroom upstairs. And the door's kind of noisy when you open it and close it in that house. And she heard somebody walking on the stairs. And so she peeks out and she sees this woman in 1900 dress, you know, skirt, dark skirt to the ankle, white blouse with like poofy around the shoulders, long sleeve, collar buttoned up all the way, hair up in a bun. And the woman stops, turns and looks over her shoulder at the docent, smiles, and then disappears in front of her eyes. Mm-hmm. And then about 6 months later, she was taking a break from dusting in the same building, and she was sitting on the couch in the living room area looking out towards the triplex, which is a stone building where three of the families left, and lo and behold, a lighthouse keeper walks by. None of the other docents dress like that. She knows all the docents that show up for restoration, and he was there, and then he wasn't there. Wow. Just walking by, she ran out to see where he went, and there was no, you know, sight of him in any direction. So she's really excited, you know, that for being a non-believer and you know, it's kind of like the Holy Grail for ghost hunters to see apparition.
Sure.
But my Holy Grail would be to get them on video and them talking to me. Because I've seen so many apparitions and since I started ghost hunting, so many, I would say 8, which I think is a lot, isn't that?
That's high compared to many, yes.
Yeah, and I would say about 6 of them were full-bodied.
Well, the first time that you had seen a full-bodied apparition, whether it be here or wherever it may have been, obviously this is a topic, this is something, you know, you're good with, you believe exists. It's not an argument of do ghosts exist. You sound like this is an acceptable thing. But still, just the idea of then seeing a full-bodied apparition, I mean, that takes it to another level. It takes it to another level of real. What was your reaction the first time you had that experience?
Well, I was driving my friend's car from Florida to California. He was in the Navy, and he had a private plane that he was flying. So my first stop was New Orleans, and I love taking historical ghost tours. There is history, and the ghost stories make it entertaining. So I was told, I stop by, is this any good? They go, no, it used to be good, but there's a pretty girl, forget it. They'll flirt with a pretty girl. And I said, well, how about investigating a haunted house for 3 hours, this one, which is more expensive. And they go, oh, that's really good. You got to do it. Well, that's what changed my life. I didn't see my full-bodied apparition, but I got hit by an unseen force 3 times, got hit in the solar plex where I heard white noise going by my ears. My equilibrium was thrown off where I had to hold on to a wall. And the first time, it was like, holy crap, what just happened? And then I had somebody else come in this room with me. She got hit from head to toe. It went through her that way. And I think I was stepping on the same spot. I got hit a second time. The second time, I go, woohoo, that kind of tickles. Because I knew it was a bad person in history, whatever happened. And then the third time, which I know better not to say now, I said, come on, is that all you got? And then I was the medium who was leading the group. It was a local paranormal group. She didn't want to influence anybody because we were filling out forms before and after the 3 hours. We were like the guinea pigs. She said I was the 6th person it had happened to. The other 5 people ran out screaming, crying, got physically ill, and refused to go back into the building. She says, if you ever move to New Orleans, we want you to join our group. You're fearless. But the next night, my second stop is San Antonio, Texas. And I stayed at this B&B. It's called Bullis House. It's right next to Fort Sam Houston. And it looked beautiful online. It was only $50 a night. And I thought, well, maybe because I got to share a bathroom. Well, it happens to be one of the most haunted places in San Antonio. And there's other places that are more known for it. But I said, no, this is more haunted than the other places. And I go in my room, and I think I see a man. And it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's better than the pictures online. I think I see a man sitting in my chair in my room, and I'm going like, I don't care who you are. You can stay here if you want, but I'm going to the Riverwalk, getting some dinner, and I need a good night's sleep because I got to drive to El Paso, which is about 12 hours drive. Just let me sleep. So, and then I sit in the chair to put on my shoes, and it reeks of alcohol. So I'm going, okay. So I go have dinner, come back, and as I'm going back to my room, a room 2 doors down from me, I see this woman, and this is goes on for 10 seconds, late 1800s, early 1900s, white dress, white lace on top of the solid white material, white gloves, white shoes, white stockings, a blue satin sash, and a matching blue ribbon, and I'd never see her face, and ringlets in the back, and her hair's kind of poofed up in the front. And as she's solid as could be, and then slowly becomes less and less and less and totally disappears. And I'm going, okay, do I have a brain tumor or what? You know, this second night in a row, weird things are happening. So then I go to sleep, and once I close my eyes, I don't open it, and because I thought I'd see that gentleman probably staring down at me. So I wake up the next morning. The manager says, oh, you must be Julie. It's so nice to meet you. Did you sleep well? I go, yeah, great. He goes, really? Nothing disturb you? No, best night's sleep ever. No weird sounds or anything? I said, are you talking about the ghost? He goes, yes, you used the magic word. I said ghost, so he was able to say something. So the man I had seen is 90% of the guests see him. He started USAA Insurance, and he survived the Bataan Death March, and that was his office, and 90% of us see him in that room, if we're staying in that room. And then I described the woman. He goes, no, doesn't sound familiar. So he brought out pictures, and he put out like several pictures of men. He goes, is this the man you saw? I said, no, that's the man. He goes, okay, you passed the first test. That's, General Wainwright. That's what it was. And he goes, are any of these women? I said, no. He goes, wait. He goes, there's a photo stuck behind this one. So it was a picture of a cotillion, which is a formal dress-up ball. And men wearing short waistcoats with tails and ruffly white shirts. And all the women were dressed like I described what I had seen the night before. And only three of them, since it was a black and white photo, had dark sashes. And went back 3 years later, and we figured out whose room it was. It was General Bullis's daughters, one of the daughters. And it was a happy, happy place, and we're pretty sure this was a residual, what I saw of the full body getting ready or dressed for a cotillion that happened. One of the many that happened in this house. They actually had a ballroom on the third floor. So that was my first full body, and it was quite impressive.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it, and something that was a fairly positive experience for seeing a ghost in full form. When the spirits at the lighthouse interact with one another, when you're picking up those conversations, like you were talking about earlier, where the daughter is almost mocking the mother, and they're interacting back and forth, do you have any evidence that they're interacting with each other beyond just the family units as they were when they were there? Like, does one ghost family, for lack of a better term, interact with another ghost family that may be there from a different time period of them inhabiting the home?
You know what? I, now that you say that, I don't think they do cross, you know, times of when they were there. Because there's four young boys who used to be active and would play pranks on me, and they were all there at the same time. Because one of the machines said, Willie Owen, and sure enough, the historian says, yes, he was a young boy here, and Pokey, she was there during the same time. And I've never had it from that I know of or been able to put together from two different times of when families were there. I think when there's interaction, it's the same length of time when they were there. Let's say, you know, these three families were there from 1902 to 1904, and those are the ones that are acting now, you know, or acting up, or I get evidence from. But they might jump around in the time, because I have one of the more modern ones who was there in, it was probably the 40s, who was a stickler for rules unless there was a card game going on. So we did test with blackjack.
And that was my next question, actually, was what was it like to play blackjack with a ghost, or what exactly did you do?
So what we did, there's just two of us, and we would have our mag lights out. You know how the ghost hunters do, you loosen a little bit, so it just takes a tap to turn on and off. And so I never saw, I was the ghost hand. I'd never looked at the cards. I just held them in my hand, and Monica was the dealer. And so it was kind of like the same odds as Vegas. We would ask them, I would show the cards to the, be on my right side, and I would show it, and I still wouldn't see the cards, so I wasn't influenced any way of hitting or not. I said, if you want to hit, make the flashlight, blink the flashlight. And it would blink or it wouldn't blink. And immediately after I said, hit or not, do you want to hit? And it would either nothing or blink. So about 50% of the time it would win. And just like the odds when I played blackjack in Lake Tahoe or whatever in Nevada. And so then we decided that, so we did maybe 20 hands like that, and it stayed at around 50%. So we decided we're going to do it so he cannot lose. He's going to see the dealer's hand, we're going to show him his hand, and he's going to see if he hits what the next card is going to be. So he knows if he's, you know, going to bust or not.
Sure.
Well, the odds went down to zero. He didn't win at all. Not a single, we did about a dozen hands, nothing. And so I said, and we had about two mag lights set up. Is it because we're cheating? And they just start blinking wildly. Yes, 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 yes. So then I go, okay, we'll stop cheating, go back to the regular way. And then the odds went up to 50%.
Wow.
So why are the, and we have it all on video too. So, you know, it's, he, you know, he loves cards, but he will not cheat.
Wants to play it the right way.
Yes. Yeah.
That's amazing. I've never heard of anyone playing cards with a ghost, but it's amazing that it came out that way. Just, I mean, in your opinion, when you were watching the decision to hit or to stand, did it, I mean, obviously it came out statistically about 50%, but what were the calls that the ghost was making? Did they make sense to you? Would it have been your move most of the time as well?
Yeah, because, you know, but Todd, if the dealer's showing like a 3 and you might have 13, don't just stay, because the chances are the dealer will bust. A 10 might show up.
Sure.
Stuff like that. He was doing things only once he hit and got 21 where he had like 19. But the other ones were, you know, what I would have done. I would have hit.
Sure. So it wasn't just random and it happened to come out to 50. It made sense. The choices that were being made made logical sense. Wow.
Yeah, it would have been, if anybody had been playing, you know, blackjack, we would have all made pretty much the same decisions as the ghost made.
Earlier, you were talking about the ovulus and when you were getting words essentially coming out of it that were not programmed into it. How did that happen? For my very broad-based question, I guess a more specific one would be, did you look into that any further? Have you heard of other situations where that sort of thing has occurred? What are your thoughts on what happened there?
I did contact Bill Chappell, who made the... And in my Ovulus FX, I think there is only less than 10 in the whole world made of that model. And I gave him a list, like I told you, of maybe 1,000, 2,000 words that I wanted with certain people's names, like friends' names and that. And it was amazing. It came out with last names that I never put in there, or words I never put in. And some of them were archaic words. I'm trying to think of an example of an archaic word that, which are more old-fashioned used and not used in, you know, modern time, which made it more interesting. And I have a modern one now. I have the Ovulus 5, which has a better voice chip. So, sometimes you had to look at the words. It would print up the words that it said with the older one. But it was... I have no idea. You think that'd be a hard concept for a spirit to figure out how to use that device. But sometimes it would just One time I was using it as a Queen Mary, and it said, shh, stop, be quiet. Just before, because we snuck below deck, we weren't supposed to, and it was just before we came to the door where security office was. And then one time we're upstairs, and we're in a ballroom, and I said, well, I don't know if you're communicating, but, you know, I'm going to go in and turn in for the evening. And I'm about to touch the handle to open the door to leave. And it had never said my name before. It goes, Julie, stop, stay. And I go, well, I would like to, but, you know, but thank you so much. But, you know, it's been a long day. And then again, it says, stay, please. And I go, like, wow. Another time we were at the Stanley Hotel, and there's a well-known ghost there, and I was with Amy Bruning. We bid on her to ghost hunt with us for about an hour, and it was three words were said, and they were significant enough to her where she got, I believe his name was Adam Bly, and he works with the Catholic Church sometime and helps priests out with exorcisms, and he happened to be at this event to warn us not to ghost hunt because, you know, we can mess with something that's not so nice. And she said, these three words are said, which means a spirit needs help to cross over. And I said, here's the machine. He says, I can't touch any of your machines. Could you ask her to repeat it again? And on the obelisk, the three words came out. Again, like help and something else and two other things. And he goes, okay. He goes, I need her permission to help her cross over, but she needs to say these words. Could you ask her? And those words came out of the ovulus, and he went away and supposedly crossed her over. And I think it was a very emotional thing that happened because most ghost hunters don't want to. They like talking to ghosts. They don't want to help them cross over, but, you know, they need. Sometimes they're stuck. They don't have the freedom of coming back and forth. They need help being crossed over because of some tragedy. So this ghost crossed over, and many of the psychics the next morning says, I can't find her. She's gone. It was a ghost that was a woman was put out in the cold when this concert hall was kind of dilapidated, and she froze. They found her dead, froze to death, and. Well, she has since come back, but it's on her free will and her time that she wants to be there still and interact. But we helped her the initial crossover to give her the freedom to come and go as she pleases. So that machine has done some, helped with some incredible things and given me some incredible information of last names to help me identify the families. So, like, man, it gave the Owen family last name. I wouldn't put Owen. Why would I put Owen in my... I know no Owen, first or last name. It also... Well, let's see. I mean, it would give even some... you know what's weird? It never gives years. When you ask for the year they're in, you never get that. I wonder why.
Maybe they don't know. I mean, that could be an answer to that. Was there any explanation or any thought as to how it was giving some of the names that were not programmed into it?
You know, and I contacted Bill Chappell, and he has no idea. He goes, you know, sometimes I hear these stories, and my machines do more than I even knew they could do. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
It's amazing. It's I guess goes to the thing of the fact that they're able to use it the way they do is amazing. So I guess maybe it's not that far of a leap to say that maybe they can manipulate it in more ways than we even know it can be manipulated. With the lighthouse in its current state, it's getting the new light you were talking about. I like to ask this kind of as a closing question. What's your hope for the lighthouse in the future? Obviously, it's been there for quite some time. Folks are now getting much more excited about the paranormal aspect of the lighthouse. Where do you see it being, you know, 30, 40, 50 years from now?
Hopefully still running because we run on not only state funds and grants, but mostly from people coming to visit the lighthouse. You were only open for tours Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday right now. So you just basically show up and find out what the times are and show up before the gate closes. And most times we never, you know, sell out. It's rare. And we close at, I think, about 40 people, but we've sometimes let in more if, you know, we don't like to turn away people. But I hope it's still running, because it's going to be, once it gets the original Fresnel lens back, one of the most beautiful spots on Earth. Like I said, it's my Shangri-La. And It's, you walk away from Point Sur just feeling refreshed, and the world feels, you know, young and good and no problems. There's no politics out there. There's no violence out there. It's just a beautiful place, ghost hunter or not, to go. I mean, even though, and if you're worried about the ghosts, you don't want to see them, they're not going to, you're never going to know they're there. They all come out and talk and say hi, or like, you know, in the past I've had, you know, things, you know, being played tricks on after, you know, being threatening after a guest was pushed once during a paranormal. I was supposed to be pushed and somebody else got pushed, and saying, I'm going to tell your parents you're going to be kicked off. And then the boys kept on playing pranks until I apologized to them for threatening to kick them off. And it's just a great place. I mean, once a year where the docents are allowed to spend overnight there. And my first overnight was fun when they kept on pulling down my sleeping bag off my chest. The first I thought it was me, and then the second time I faked I was sleeping, and I could feel being pulled down. I said, stop it. I got 45 minutes left to sleep before I have to leave here. Just stop it. Ha, ha, ha. And then they stopped doing that. But it is just wonderful. I just hope we're still giving tours and people are still enjoying it, and people who are kids who came there bring their kids and their grandkids, and it's like I said, I drive 2 hours each way to give tours. That's how much I love this place, not because of the spirits, but I just love this place so much.
That wraps up our interview with Julie Nunes about the haunted Big Sur Lighthouse. Thank you for being a gravekeeper and keeping our program on the air. We could not do this show without your support. Please let your friends know about the Grave Talk so we can continue making great episodes for you every single week. Until next time for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.